Proverbs 2:8. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his godly ones. Proverbs 2:8. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his godly ones. Proverbs 2:8. Deuteronomy 32:11. An eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings, so the Lord alone led him. Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. Deuteronomy 32:11. Psalm 73:24. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:24. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:24. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study on the subject of the heart. On the screen, you're now going to see the word heart. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs in just a few moments. But let's spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the wonderful opportunity which is ours to turn our attention away from the various distractions of the world and focus our minds upon your wonderful word. We're thankful that we have this magnificent scripture, the completed canon of the Bible. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you care for us and love us and have blessed us. We're the recipients of your grace in every area of life, and we thank you so much for it. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study, and we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see the word heart. You will also see that there is a scripture reference here, Proverbs 23:7. I would ask you, if you will, please, to open your Bibles to Proverbs 23:7, which says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is. For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Most of us have learned that scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it is not speaking of a physical pump, but the thinking part of us. The Bible then is what we would classify as the mind or the thinking of the individual, the cardia, the mentality of the soul. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you go to Romans 10:10, a verse that you memorized, I'm sure, a long time ago, says, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." The heart is the mentality of the soul. We've looked at this word a number of times through the years. We've looked at the word nous, which is the word for the mind. We've looked at this Greek word cardia, which is the Greek word heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The essence of the heart, there are three factors. Number one, we call the storage center for all knowledge, which is human and spiritual. Let's look at this for a few moments and analyze what is being presented to us. The heart is the storage center for all knowledge, human and spiritual. So you have to understand that God was good to you to give you a cardia, a heart, which is your spiritual mentality. The first part that we talk about is the storage center for all knowledge, human and divine. You and I have the opportunity to realize that every moment we have the ability to think. We have the ability to comprehend, understand, know various things. That's God-given. So the essence of the heart, three factors. Number one, the storage center for all knowledge, human and spiritual. The second part is what we call the conscience. Every person in this auditorium, every person hearing my voice, you have conscience. You have what we classify as norms and standards. There are certain things that you will do and will not do. There are certain things that you want to think and you don't want to think. Because you have in your life, because of your relationship to Jesus Christ, certain norms and standards. Your norms and standards are determined by where you've been, what you've been thinking, what you've been analyzing and studying over the past years. What is so exciting to me is to know that we have a congregation of many individuals who are perceptive to God and God's Word and who desire on a day-by-day basis to receive spiritual fuel for the soul. And as a result of this, over a period of time, you've not only learned and you've advanced spiritually. The mamas and daddies have taught their children. They've learned. It's exciting to me to see what all's happened in this church over the last years, as I think in terms of some of you who are sitting in this auditorium, who came up in this church, little children, under the tutorship of individuals who loved you and who presented faithfully the Word of God to you and developed over these many years norms and standards, conscience. Number three, viewpoint. Viewpoint using words to put together the ability to explain biblical content. It's important for us to see today that you and I have a cardia, mentality of the soul. As a result of that, we're analyzing and making our way through these various facets and understanding that we have conscience, norms and standards. We have viewpoint. We have the ability to use words to explain biblical content, which we call frame of reference. Now, we have to understand that since the heart was designed by our Heavenly Father to dominate the soul, we have to understand then that it is the target for a system of comprehension. These words are properly chosen for you today. I want you to look again. We see conscience, norms and standards. We see viewpoint, using words to put together the ability to explain biblical content, frame of reference. Number three, since the heart was designed by our Heavenly Father to dominate the soul, it is the target for a system of comprehension. Every believer should desire a method of understanding and then the ability to utilize, categorize biblical truth. Some of you have learned in your coming into this church as a new person that there is a system of learning that is being presented and has been presented for many, many years. There are certain terms that we use. There are certain words that we use. There are certain expressions that we use. This is not to confuse you. This is to guide you and help you. Some of you, when you first came, you wondered, what in the world is he talking about when he talks about the spiritual house of the soul, when he talks about filling of the Holy Spirit, when he talks about these various subjects? I'm sure that it took you a while to begin to understand that there's a reason for all of this. There's a system of learning. Every believer should desire a method of understanding and then the ability to utilize and categorize biblical truth. That's the reason that when we go to Psalm 19:14, it says that the heart is a vital system of comprehension. And that's the reason why we have this expression, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not be in disobedience to the plan of God." If you haven't already put that verse down, do it. Please notice, I repeat, Psalm 19:14. The heart is the vital system of comprehension. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not be in disobedience to God's plan." There has to be what we classify as capacity for life. There has to be an understanding of the fact that we're here on the earth for a brief period of time, and God desires that we have joy and happiness. God has set up a plan for us to be happy. If you're not happy today, there's a reason for this. There's a reason why you're not happy, you're unhappy. It's because you have not allowed the plan of God to be accepted by you, because God's plan has already been consummated. It has been fulfilled. The drum of life has been paid for in full. That's the reason why the scripture uses the Greek word koreo, which means the chorus. God has planned your life and mine, and he finalized that, and he sealed it, and he's given us the means by which we can find joy, peace, and happiness. So I put on the screen God's plan, our happiness. Let me give you some conclusions. Over the years, I put together this. If God has a plan for our happiness, how are we to have it? Number one, recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. It would do you good to write these down and analyze them over the next weeks and coming months and years. God's plan, our happiness. Number one, recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. Number two, view life always from a divine perspective. View life from a divine perspective. That simply means that there are times in life when things are not going as well as we would like for them to go. There are times when illness comes. There are times when death comes to the family. There are times when all kinds of burdens and trials and tests come our way. What are we to do? We're to view life from a divine perspective. A divine perspective. We've had to do that over the last weeks and months. You've had to do it because you've faced various troubles and difficulties. Some of you have faced loved ones passing away. And you've had to back off and analyze this in the light of, what's God's viewpoint about this? How does God see this? How am I to see this? Divine viewpoint, divine perspective. Number three, we're to relate everything to the Lord. If things are not going very well, relate that to the Lord, knowing that he knows what's best for us. We know that Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things do work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. View life from a divine perspective. Relate everything to the Lord. Number four, realize that difficulty and suffering is actually a necessary part of our spiritual advance. We may not like it. We may not fully comprehend or understand it or appreciate it. But we are to realize, number four, that difficulty and suffering is a necessary part of the Christian life. I pause for a few moments to remind you of something. Those of us who over the years have studied the XYZ radical, and some people that's all new to them. They don't understand. But when they begin to see it and see the various facets of it, it becomes so fantastic and wonderful. XYZ. Looking at it from the standpoint of seeing God's plan for our lives, we see, number one, positional sanctification, salvation. We see, number two, experiential sanctification, advancing, growing up. We see ultimate sanctification. These are various aspects of positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, ultimate sanctification, when the time God calls us to our eternal home. It's important for us to be able to see this formula and analyze what is engaged in each one of those facets. And all my mind right now is skipping through those facets which we've learned and we've taught through the years. And my mind goes down to the last one when I just read for you, realize that difficulty, suffering is a necessary part of the Christian advance. And my mind went down to the Z radical, and I saw something that just came up in my mind again that I learned and taught through the years. We are to come to a point in life before ultimate sanctification takes place, before we leave this life, there are some things that you and I need to know. And the first thing is eschatological concepts. What does that mean? That means we need to study and learn things in relationship to what the Lord has in store for us for the future. That means that we study the tribulation. That means we study the second advent. That means we study the millennium. That means we study all these various things. We do that because we're developing eschatological viewpoint. When I look down at that Z radical, I not only see eschatological viewpoint, but I see suffering. And I see a word attached to it that's interesting. One word is undeserved suffering, and the other word is deserved suffering. Now, I don't know what I'm doing for you, but I think some of you are able to reminisce and recollect in your thinking the XYZ radical, and you're seeing right now how beautiful ultimate sanctification is and what is involved before that takes place. One of these days, your heart's going to tick for the last time. You're going to leave this life. One of these days, you'll breathe your last breath. You're going to leave this life. I'm not being ugly to you today. I'm just being factual with you, realizing that this is true of all of us. But we, while we're here, God has given us the opportunity to advance spiritually and see from a vertical divine viewpoint, no matter what the circumstances are. If the circumstances are good, we appreciate that. If the circumstances are difficult, we are aware of the fact that God still is working things together for our good and His glory. Number five, always maintain an attitude of gratitude. Always, no matter what's the situation, no matter what's happening to you, no matter what's happening to me, maintain an attitude of gratitude. Number six, embrace His principles and utilize biblical concepts and biblical truths, biblical doctrines. If you're taking these points down, it would do you good to keep them. And when you find yourself in the midst of difficulty, go back and look at these. Realize that difficulty, suffering, is a necessary part of our Christian advance. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. Embrace His principles and utilize biblical concepts and doctrines. Be aware of the fact that if we have these things in our heart and mind and soul, the cardia, we can utilize them when these difficult days come our way. Number 7, depend upon the integrity of God. Depend upon the integrity of God. Number 8, remember that this earth is not our real home. Remember that this earth is not our real home. Number 9, be aware of God's grace every single moment, every single day. Be aware of God's grace. I appreciate you taking these points down. Number 10, look at all things in the light of eternity. Look at all things in the light of eternity. We're talking about your cardia, your heart. The Bible speaks of the heart, not the pump that pumps the blood through your system. The Bible speaks of the cardia, which is your mentality, the mentality of your soul. And all these things are just reminders to us that while we're here, God has a wonderful plan for us. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which we have for just to spend a few moments somewhat silence, realizing that this wonderful plan has been fully paid for. The drum of life has been fully paid for and has been presented to us. And we have the responsibility now to accept that plan and utilize that plan every single day. We realize that no one can do this for us as an individual. It's personal and private. And so we pray that each one in the auditorium, each one hearing my voice, will all of us, including the one speaking, that all of us will understand more and more about this cardia, the mentality of the soul, and help us to daily live our lives in accordance with your plan. And for those who hear the message today who've never been saved, who haven't trusted you, may they do it now, because the Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart, we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.